Let's head off to Children's Church. If you want to go off, Miss Victoria is right here to head off with you. Have a good time. All right. All right. All right. You don't want to stay in here for this. Come on. There's so much that much better stuff out there. For those of you who have been cursed this morning by having to stay in here and listen to me. All right. Turn with me. We're going to be in the book of Matthew. We're going to look at chapter 5, verse 13. All right. Matthew 5, 13. So we're moving on. So we spent basically the last 8 weeks talking about the Beatitudes. We've been talking about how God works from the inside out through the Beatitudes. The first four deal with our inside, our being well, so that we might be able to go out and have well-being to those who are out around us. So we work from the inside, God does, on us, and then we take that outside so that we can be a witness and a light in the world. And that's basically what he's turning to here. So he's turning from this formation of who we are from the inside and then how we're supposed to live in the world to now he's putting it into function. Okay, so as he moves from the Beatitudes, we're going from form to function, and we're going to be talking about two things. We're going to be talking about salt and light. Now, let me tell you what's going on here. We're going to talk about salt today. Next week, we're going to talk about vision, all right, and so that we can see, but it's also going to be in relation to what we're doing with the workshop that'll take place after church, and then we will finish on Palm Sunday talking about light, and then we will have, of course, an Easter Sunday message on Easter Sunday, all right? So that's where we're going for the next 3 or 4 weeks to help you understand. So there's going to be a little bit of break as we talk about salt today, and we'll talk about light actually in a couple of weeks from now. So the verse says this, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." So as we move to form, from form to function, we need to see what Christ is trying to say to us here. He calls us the salt of the earth. Now, tell me a little bit. I'm going to ask this as a question so that you can give me answer back, all right? So don't throw things at me, but you can say things to me, okay? So what is salt? What is salt? Seasoning, all right? What else is salt? Preservative. Okay, what else is salt? All right, it's a mineral. That's right. All right. Gives flavor, does it not? Gives flavor to something else. Is that what you said already? You were trying to tell me. Okay. Yeah. My wife could not survive without salt. She salts everything. In fact, before I go to sleep at night, she just throws a little bit on me so she can sleep next to me. All right. So just so I can make it through the night. You know what I'm saying? So she uses salt on everything. So salt is a basic foundation of who we are and what we use and in our lives. Now, I want you to think about it in that day and age. Salt was a preservative. Salt is what was an essential part of life before there was refrigeration. Does anybody here remember before there was refrigeration? Did you grow up when there? You have to salt all your meat down and put it out in the house and the stuff that would be back behind the real house, right? And see, I didn't grow up with that. I had indoor plumbing. I had so many things in my life that just are, you know. So look, there was a day and an age and a time where this was of greater importance in everyday life. It's changed some now, hasn't it? All right? Because of some of the advances that we've made, the uses of salt has changed. But it has not changed spiritually from what God is trying to tell us right here in who we are in this world. We are the influence that God has in this world. So I want you to see something today. It's influence over affluence, okay? Because how much does salt cost? Nothing. All right? So for something that is so useful and something that we use in everyday life, it is cheap, is it not? And it seems to be lying around everywhere. If we could figure out how to use it, well, we do use it, a lot of it. I mean, think about it. Salt water, 70% of our earth is covered by salt water. So as we pull that out, now we use sea salt for everything, don't we? We season it with stuff. And so we're learning to try to take this something that is around us that seems in abundance and is unimportant and see it for what it really is. It is influence in the world. That's what Christ is saying to us, is that you and I, though we seem to be everywhere and it seems to be commonplace, it actually is influence that God is calling for us to have in this world over affluence. In other words, salt is something that's really inexpensive and people take for granted. But the reality is it has great importance in our lives. Now, I want you to think about that in spirituality text and in terms of our culture and our country. The more we take God out of our country and our country seems to operate more without God, it looks like it's getting better on the outside to those around us, right? And I want you to think about this in your lifetime with the advances that we've made. Let me give you this question, propose this to you. What was your average income in the 70s? Tens of thousands of dollars? If you made $10,000, $15,000, was that considered someone who had a lot of money back then? All right. Now I want you to think about this in the 80s and 90s when all that greed came in and all that growth came in and stuff where the country changed economically. $30,000 and $40,000 was a lot. Now it's six figures, isn't it? Somebody, you know, we've grown from in 40 years from where tens of thousands of dollars was a lot of money to now people are looking for jobs that make hundreds of thousands of dollars. So we have grown in a look and a aspect of affluence, but what has happened to Christendom in that same 40 years? We've lost our influence. So this passage right here says to us that you and I are the salt of the earth, but salt has become tasteless. But if the salt has become tasteless. So we're supposed to be influential in this world for Christ Jesus. But if we lose that, it goes on to say, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and to be trampled underfoot by men. So we must maintain our influence through every single step. As the world changes around us, and as the world becomes possibly even more affluent, or even as it changes as far as computers and technology and science and all of these things that we think are going to make us evolve and become better, we need to see us for who we truly are. So as God, as Christ is speaking to us in this Sermon on the Mount, he's saying that as we move from form, our function does not change. Through every single bit of this, our function doesn't change. And it may be simple, and it may be simplistic to the world, but it is extremely influential in who we are and what goes on in this world, because we are God's representation in this world. Scripture says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. For consider your calling, brethren, that not many of you are wise according to the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of this world to shame the things which are strong. The base things of this world and the despised of God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. Power corrupts, right? Total power corrupts totally. So as people grow financially, a lot of cases in this world, that's the way it works. The more money you have, the more esteemed that you are, the more things that you can be in charge of or have control over, right? And so as that grows in our life and in our world, people become less and less reliant on God, and they become more and more and more reliant upon themselves. So this passage right here says God doesn't deal with any of that. God chooses the things that look like that they're less important, less noble, of less value, And he uses those things mightily for his kingdom. That should speak to every single one of us. Is there anybody in here rich? Anybody rich? Good. I was going to call you today because we were going to do a fundraising stuff here at the church, and I was going to ask you to give some more. I'm just kidding. You know, I want you to think about this. There's nobody in here that considers themselves rich by any way, shape, form, or fashion. But we're gathered here today by God and for God to be used in this community for his kingdom. Amen? Amen. And so as he's gathered us together for these reasons, there is purpose and there is an intention in who we are and what we're to do. So we need to get busy about this and see how God uses us as children of his kingdom to affect the world or influence the world. The first one you've already given me is preservation. We're the preservation of God's covenant. When something is preserved, it does two things, okay? One, it heals. Have you ever put salt on a wound before? All right. It stings, but what does the salt do? It cleans it up, doesn't it? It cleans it up. So it promotes healing, all right? But not only does it promote healing, it stops decay. Now think about that. The reason that we salt these meats and when we would put them away is why? Because it all kept longer for us to be able to use it over a longer period of time. This morning at Brotherhood Breakfast, Brother Bobby brought in some salted ham, all right? Some cured ham. You ever had cured ham for breakfast in the morning? Oh, man. So he cuts it, he takes a big bite, and he goes, man, that's salty. It was good, but it was salted. Why was it salted? So it preserved it and to keep it, to stop it so that we could use it for longer. This is how we grew up. This is what we do. This is what God has called us to. We're to have a preservation of God's covenant in this world. That's why he spoke that in the Old Testament, and that's why he uses us today. Let me give you this in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. He says this, then by the men of the city said to Elisha, behold, now the situation of this city is pleasant as my Lord sees. But what the water is bad and the land is unfruitful. And he said, bring me a new jar and put salt in it. So they brought it to him and he went out to the spring water and threw salt in it. And he said, thus saith the Lord, I have purified these waters. There shall not be from here there death nor unfruitfulness any longer. So the waters have been purified to this day according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. God used his prophet right there to give the example of what you and I have now today, which is that of purifying and preserving that which is in this world. The water was bad, and everybody's going to drink the water. Think about that culturally for us. When things come out these days, does everybody question it? No, they don't question it at all, do they? It's the new great thing. Let's go do it. Just a flock of followers. And so we all get in and we all start doing that new thing. And culturally, that becomes the thing for us to do. And sometimes that is bad. It has a bad influence upon us and has a bad influence upon our culture. But we don't question it anymore. We just go do it. This causes us to stop and to say, Scripture causes us to say, does this line up with God? If it doesn't line up with God, this is bad. How do we cleanse this in and of our lives? Scripture right here gives us a picture in the Old Testament of a prophet taking this and throwing it into the water to purify and make that water usable for the people. Colossians, in the New Testament, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, Paul says this, conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity, and let your speech always be with grace as though it is seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each other. So culturally for us today, how does this work? As you saw it in the Old Testament with the water for a community, think about it for us. So we're on Facebook, right? Somebody says something, or you're on Snapchat, or you're on Instagram, or you're on one of them. How many times during the week do you see where somebody's post from one of those becomes viral because of what they said or how they said it? Right? They may have said something that was truthful, but it was how they said it, right? And how about all the hashtags that are going on right now? And how people respond to certain hashtags that are put out there for a movement that people have. And if you say the wrong thing, you become what? You become a pyra. In other words, nobody even wants to talk to you or have anything to do with you anymore because you make a comment on something. In fact, one of our Olympic athletes liked something, didn't he? On one of them, gave him a thumbs up on something one time on somebody's post. And then that post got connected back to something that was not good. And now they think that they thought he was a part of that. Do you see how influential this is and how connected all this is? So think about this. Not only is it with our verbal words anymore, but we have to stop and think about everything that we are responding to. Because as your mama taught you, it's not always what you say, but how you say it that makes the difference. And so just as our conduct needs to be good, and as we move from form to function, our conduct needs to be good, but also our speech needs to be good. We need to think about what we say, how we say it. We have to be able to say not only the right words, but we have to say it in the right way. Now, I want to talk to you about something because actually Clay and I got into a discussion about this past week. When we've moved to all of these forms of media that we have and these forms of interaction and communication that we have, we've lost something. Now, one of the things that we need to understand that we've lost is body language. Have anybody ever taught you about that in body language and stuff? Communication is not only verbal, but it is visual, is it not? It's visual. So sometimes it's not always what you say, but how you say it, but also the manner in which it's said to you, right? Because if somebody's in your face and they're like this right here, and they're saying, I love you, I really do. Their body language is not saying that, is it? It's not saying that at all. So let me tell you this, as a parent, I'm an intense person. Have y'all ever noticed that I kind of move around a lot and stuff like that? So there's an intensity about who I am and sometimes what I say. And so Tamara would come to me later and she goes, "You're scaring the kids." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "You're in their face." I'm like, "I'm trying to get on their level so that I can talk to them. It's just the intensity in which I'm talking to them." You see what I'm saying? I use my hands a lot. Have you noticed that? That's probably not good for a four-year-old. What are you thinking? It's okay. It's all going to be good. He's scaring me, Mom. My body language was saying something totally different from my words. All of this stuff has to come into play as we communicate. As God is calling us to be influential in this day and in this world to preserve His covenant, we have to take all of these aspects of this into consideration. As we go and we share the gospel, it's how we say it, what we say, how we live. Our body language as we come and speak to someone, "You're going to die and go to hell." That's probably not how to win friends and influence people. That's not going to bring them into the body of Christ. To wag your finger, to look at someone with a scowl and tell them that Jesus loves them. We have to think about all of these things because why? Because God has called us to be salt in this world. He's called us to be influential. And if we lose our saltiness, if we lose what we're here and purposed for, then what? What does the scripture say? We're useless. Totally useless. And then he says, how can we be made salty again? If we lose all this, we're going to lose what we're actually called here for. So the first thing is preservation. The second thing, oh my gosh, I read the wrong scripture, didn't I? Y'all caught that. Did nobody stop me? Y'all just let me do it, didn't you?
Tried to make eye contact.
You did? Okay. So there's purification. So let me go back up and talk about preservation with the right scripture right quick, all right? Wow. I've lost that. Remember, the remainder of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons, the thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord by fire. Every grain offering is yours. Moreover, you shall season it with salt, so that the salt of the covenant of God shall not be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. All right. Numbers 18:19 says this, all the offerings of the holy gifts which the son of Israel offered to the Lord, I shall have given to you and your sons and your daughters with you as a perpetual allotment. It is an everlasting covenant of salt before the Lord to you and your descendants with you. 2 Chronicles 13:5. Do you not know that the Lord your God Israel gave rule over Israel forever to David and his sons by the covenant of salt? So salt is here for preservation. And now let me go into this. Salt is here for purification. God wants us to not only preserve his kingdom, and but we're here to also purify this world. We're to cleanse this world. Now, how is that going to work for us? If we are called here to not only preserve this kingdom, but to purify this world, how do you think that we purify this world? I'm asking a question. I'm sorry? Purify ourselves first. That's exactly right. That's what he's been imploring us to do in the Beatitudes, is that we first have to live a pure life so that we can be an example of purity in this world. What's another way that we can purify this world? Anyone? All right, there you go. As everybody else is moving in this direction, and we know that to not be the direction that we're supposed to go, God is calling for us to go in the opposite direction. He is calling for us to stand out and be different. When something is pure, it is set apart. It is pulled out. It's gone the extra phase. Have you looked on stuff like your soap? What is it, ivory? 99.9% pure, right? They're trying to tell us it is about as pure as it can possibly get. God is calling us to live in this world that way. If we're going to have influence in this world, it's going to be because we stand out and we're different. If we start going the entire direction that everybody else is going, then we're going to have missed the boat. The world is influencing the church more than the church is influencing the world. And the reason, the main reason, is because we're not salt and light anymore. We look and sound and say and do the same things that everybody else does. There's no purity there. The divorce rate in the church is the same thing as it is outside the church. We're not setting ourselves apart by being different from the world. We're following right along with the world. I'm not just talking about divorce. I'm talking about anything. I bet you the drug use rate is about the same inside the church as it is outside the church. The only thing that they say about the church that's good is spirituality helps us to live longer. So we just got to stay here and endure more of this stuff, don't we? Our calling here is to be different. Our calling here is to influence the world, not to be influenced by the world. So when we make our decisions based off of what everybody else is doing, then what happens is that culture imposes its will upon us instead of us shining a light or being salt in the world. Now, I want you to think about these things. Please, I grew up in an athletic household, and I played sports all of my life. But school schedules and sports and extracurricular activities dictate what goes on in the church today. It used to be, back in the day, that the church was the center of extracurricular activities in the community. But as the amount of activities grew, the church got left behind in that. And now the world dictates how we schedule things because of the things that are going on. No longer do we have that influential. We've lost that. Okay, having said that, How do we get back to where we're influencing the world if their schedule no longer matches up with our schedule? Q&A, you can answer me back. Don't participate in those things. That's one way. What's another way? How about this? How about if we get outside the box and where they are is where we go? What if we, if they're going to be at the ballpark on Wednesday night and we know that, why don't we take our group and we go to the ballpark and we hand out water and we do the different things that we might be able to do to get a touch on someone's life there? Are you following me? See, sometimes we see it as if God calls us to step out and to be a light in a dark world or salt in this world, we see that as the world goes this direction, we should never go that direction. Sometimes we have to be there to have the proper influence as people are there. Because if they've all gone this direction and we're standing over here, we're going to be all alone. There's no way that we're ever going to have an impact on their life. So God's calling is not always for us to be in a distance from the world, at an arm's length. God says to be in the world, just not of this world. And so as God has called us to be here and to be a place where we are not only preserving the world and purifying the world, He's calling us to have an effect and influence on their lives. And sometimes that means we meet them where we are. I know this from just historically. I don't even know if they still do this or not, but there was a local church that used to have a service on the lake. Because everybody during the summer, they had the service. Okay? They had a service on the lake. Why is that? Because everybody was there with their boat on the lake, and everybody would just drive up and come to the service. It's a way that you can still have a touch on someone's life if they're going to choose to be doing what they're doing. Now think about this. Is that compromising? Or is that influencing? Is that doing what we can do to get a touch on the world? I'm asking these questions, and the reason I want to talk about I'm asking you a lot of questions today and having this kind of an open discussion because I don't usually do this in messages, is because this is where we are, guys. Mount Salem meets at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings, whether there's two of us or whether there's 200 of us. If the world isn't going to come and meet with Mount Salem at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings, how are we going to connect with those folks? Sometimes we're going to have to go where they are. And that means sometimes we're not going to be able to have everything on this piece of property. That sometimes we're going to have to be in places and doing things that are out in this community that we're meeting the people at their point of need. That's the way we get back to being the influence in the world. We're set apart. We're called out by God. But He's called us to be in this world, but not of this world. And we've got to go do whatever we can to make some kind of contact to be able to get a touch on someone's life. When Brother Paul in ministry in the 60s and the 70s, the 80s, going to people's homes, making phone calls, Monday night visitation, all the things that the church used to do to follow up with guests, it's not as effective anymore. Because we've become so individualistic in our culture, nobody wants people at their house anymore, do they? No, you can call me, but don't come over here. In fact, we live in communities where we put up gates, right? And the more money that you have, sometimes you can live behind the gated community. You don't ever have to see anybody, right? Because you can live that way. We don't have to make those contacts. Or maybe your community or your subdivision has something up where it says that there's no soliciting. And you can't go door to door and you can't talk to people. How are we going to get touches on people's lives in this type of culture? That's where we're going to have to be creative. That's where we're going to have to get in our own mindset and our own framework that we have got to be salt in this world and that we cannot lose our saltiness Because if we lay down, then we might as well just be thrown on the ground to be trodden under by foot. Because we can sit here and we can say, y'all come at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings, Mount Salem is here gathered, and the world, because of our influence in it, will become less and less viable to come here. They won't see it that way. So as we think about what God has called us to, as He moves us from the formation of who we are as the body of Christ and as the people of God to the function of how we're supposed to interact with this world, and if God has called us to purify and to preserve this world, to be salt in it, then we have to be salty. We have no other choice. And so we need to think about the ways in which we can make a difference. And not about how they're going to change to accommodate us. And I think that is the crossroads for the church today. The church is at a crossroads with this. In fact, we're probably about 10 to 20 years behind the crossroads. It's kind of already happening, and we're trying to figure out whether or not we're going to change course or not. And it's difficult. Because Mount Salem Baptist Church, as far as I can go back and see, has always had Sunday morning church, Sunday school, and Wednesday night, right? Well, maybe that means that we're going to have to figure out another way to make an impact in this community in some other way besides just those things. Not say those things go away. I'm just saying we got to figure out maybe how there's another way in which we can make an influence and an impact in this community for God's kingdom so that we can maintain the fact that we are the salt. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the fact that you love us. Forgive us, Father, of all the times that we fail you. Thank you for what you've called us to. Thank you for the blessings which you bestow upon our life. Father, I pray that you will continue to speak to us and into our lives. Father, I pray that as we go throughout this week, that we will see that purpose and that intent that you've given us through Scripture to be salt in this world, and that you will use us, Father, and those whose lives we come in contact with each and every day, whether that be through our business or through our social lives or, Father, through the lives of our children, that you'll give us the opportunity to touch another life. And as we come in contact with that, Father, that you'll give us the words to say. And as you give us the words to say, you'll give us the right words to say and the way to say it. And, Father, that our body language will speak of that of a person of compassion and a person of caring and a person who's loving. And Father, as we do that, I pray that we will have an impact in this world for your glory. These things we ask and these things we pray now in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand.